From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Later in the program, we'll be talking about a truck crash near Effingham, Illinois, that sent toxic anhydrous ammonia into the air. Five people were killed, and hundreds more had to be evacuated. We'll hear details about what happened and talk through some of the bigger implications of the incident. That's coming up in about 35 minutes. But first, for weeks, we've been hearing warnings that a shutdown of the federal government was imminent. Reporters had been filing stories on how it would affect Illinois, what government services would be halted and which would carry on. Officials from national park superintendents to prison wardens had been deciding which federal employees would be sent home and which would have to be working without pay. But then, a surprise compromise this weekend. The House of Representatives pushed through a stopgap measure that would keep the government running for 45 days through mid-November. The Senate quickly followed suit, and President Biden signed it into law. The legislation passed with significant bipartisan majorities. Despite that, all three Republicans from Illinois voted no on the measure. That's Representatives Darren LaHood of Peoria, Mary Miller of Oakland, and Mike Bost of Murfreesboro. The one Democrat in Congress to vote against the deal is also from Illinois, Representative Mike Quigley, whose district includes the north side of Chicago and some of the northwest suburbs. He told Axios he voted no because the plan did not include any money for Ukraine. He said, quote, "If we're willing to cave that quickly, what makes them think we won't cave in 45 days? I at least had to voice opposition and express that concern." In a few minutes, we'll talk about what went down with two of Illinois' representatives in Congress, Raja Krishnamurti and Nikki Budzinski. But first, here to help us make sense of the deal is Illinois Public Media's Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon. Linda joins us live this morning. Good to talk with you as always. How was your weekend?
I know that's a rhetorical question, yeah, all but right. Yes.
Well, let's start with something a little more substantive then, because we all know your weekend was probably quite crowded with work. So when you and I spoke late last week, it sure seemed like we were heading for another government shutdown. What was the turning point, the key turning point that averted that?
I think that after a while, there was just too much concern about the political fallout and the personal fallout that would have occurred had there actually been a government shutdown. As a lot of Republicans in the Senate did not want to go along with a shutdown, and they were at odds with some Republicans in the House, but basically, nobody really wanted to have to deal with the consequences of a shutdown politically or logistically. Now, if there had been a shutdown, millions of federal workers, many in their home districts, as well as the U.S. military, would have been furloughed. Now, many of them would have been forced to work, but without pay. And then that also would have sort of been a backfire when it comes to wanting increased border security. Some of the border patrol agents would, again, have to be forced to work without pay. There would have been a crackdown on, I should say, a slowdown or a total elimination of things such as food inspections, water safety, food stamps, which are like they now call them SNAP, but, you know, women's, infants, and children's program, nutrition for women and pregnant women and their children. For instance, if you wanted to get a passport, you could pretty much forget about that because those offices would be closed. Marriage licenses, Medicare and Medicaid, all of these things. While you may not have been a federal worker or a member of the U.S. military, this would all affect you eventually. And that could not only have catastrophic consequences for people personally, but it would have affected the entire U.S. economy. And so there was a decision not to let that happen. And by a bipartisan vote in the House and an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote in the Senate, there was an agreement to approve a CR, a continuing resolution, a 45-day spending bill, which will expire on November 17th, which continues funding at current levels before the new fiscal year began. So it's really the previous fiscal numbers. And it will continue that, giving the House and the Senate time to work through the remaining appropriations bills, which they are required to pass every single year, and tend to get a little bit behind the eight ball on that.
You know, the I guess the big question heading into this weekend was which faction of his caucus would Speaker McCarthy go along with? The group that was urging him to throw a huge wrench into the federal government, or the one who said, you know, let's at least keep the machine running for a time? And ultimately, we have heard that a small minority of House Republicans, they've been threatening to oust Speaker McCarthy if he made a compromise like this. We heard from Representative Matt Gaetz over the weekend that he would do just that. What chance do they have of succeeding?
Well, Kevin McCarthy knew when he became Speaker that he had given the House Freedom Caucus, the most conservative wing of the Republicans in the House, quite a lot of power over him. And one of the deals that he made was that it could take just one vote to remove him from his position as Speaker of the House. And so this is essentially what is going to happen. And it can be stopped. But first, we have to go through the procedure. And Florida Republican Matt Gaetz, who has been a hugely outspoken opponent of Kevin McCarthy and his policies, said yesterday that he is absolutely going to do it. He's going to pull the trigger. He's going to issue a motion to vacate on the floor tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow. And that means that that could oust Kevin McCarthy from his job. Now, there's a few scenarios that could play out. It could be stopped in its tracks by a motion to table or a motion to refer back to committee, whichever committee they decide to refer it to. And then it would essentially go there to die. But if it does not go through a motion to refer or any of the other procedural issues like a motion to table, then it will go to the full House floor for a vote. It only takes a simple majority to oust House Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his position as Speaker of the House. The chances of that happening, though, I'm going to have to say, if I do the arithmetic here, yes, Republicans have the majority, but the majority of the Republicans in the House are not members of the House Freedom Caucus. And the majority of the majority voted for the CR, the continuing resolution. So while they may lose a certain number of Republican votes, they will then have to turn to the Democrats. Kevin McCarthy will have to turn to the Democrats for their support to keep him as Speaker of the House. And then we're going to see some drama. Will they or won't they?
Will they or won't they? And can any deals he might cut or promises he might make to remain in his job and seek Democratic support? And I should say, we've already heard at least some Democrats. I saw Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on a CNN program over the weekend saying it's not the Democrats' job to save Speaker McCarthy in his role. But, you know, there are people now who say that Speaker McCarthy cannot be taken at his word, right? If you're in the self-styled Freedom Caucus, they say he went back on agreements he made with them to get the speakership in the first place. Though I think we don't even still have all the details of what exactly he agreed to. And now Democrats are saying that he went against the deal he cut with them and President Biden overspending a few months ago during the debt ceiling fight. Is, you know, how trustworthy do members view Speaker McCarthy? And what does that do for his long-term prospects in the position?
Well, I will also point out that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the New York representative, also said, you know, it is not our job, obviously, to protect the speaker, to keep the speaker in office. That's the job of the Republicans. But she also said, if he wants Democratic support, it's not going to be free, which means he's going to have to cut a deal with Democrats to the point where they do trust him. And they're going to want to extract perhaps some concessions. The other school of thought on this is that, yes, they don't necessarily trust Kevin McCarthy. Yes, he's not their man. However, you get down to the question of, if you'll excuse the metaphor, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Last thing I'm going to ask you about, what are you looking forward to in the weeks and months ahead? I guess this stopgap measure lasts for 45 days from when it was signed into law. Are we just going to be back here in a month and a half having these same conversations?
Well, I like the fact that you said, what am I looking forward to? I wouldn't
say. A day off, maybe, but other than that.
Forward to repeating this this situation where, you know, past will be prologue and we're going to be going over this all over again. Chances are pretty good we will be going all over this all over again. I will say that the Senate has moved through most of its appropriations bills. The House is blaming the Senate for not being ready. The Senate's not supposed to be the body that's ready. It's supposed to be the one that, it's the House where spending is supposed to originate. But nonetheless, they have worked through in their various committees most, if not all of the, I'd have to double check their appropriations bills. They're actually waiting for the House's versions. And when they both pass, then they have to go through conference to iron out any differences. It's going to be a rocky road ahead. It's not going to be easy, and chances are pretty good that we'll be talking about either another CR on November 17th, or they will be ready to pass an entire year's worth of appropriations bills that will cover the current fiscal year, not the last fiscal year. And if they don't, well, we're going to be spending our holidays together up on Capitol Hill, as we have from time to time. Not having a chance to do our Christmas shopping and or prepare our Thanksgiving turkeys. And, we'll all become very close friends because that's the way it goes. You know, everybody likes to huddle together in a foxhole.
Linda Kenyon covers the federal government and the Illinois Congressional Delegation for Illinois Public Media. Linda, thank you as ever for being with us. I hope you get a day off soon.
Thank you. So do I.